Well, we had Larissa Nolan on the podcast very recently, and she told us the fascinating story of her 10-year journey to finally buying her first home. So if you haven't heard it yet, be sure to have a listen back after this one. But one of the things I had planned to talk to her about in that episode was the big referendum that we're being asked to vote on this week, March the 8th, because Larissa has very strong views about it, including that it's a referendum that nobody really wants, needs, or asked for in the first place, and also that she thinks it's a massive waste of 17 million euro. So I asked Larissa to rejoin me here in the studio to trash this out. What's on the table? What are we looking at? Break it down for me like I'm in Sesame Street. And I think it's fair to say that many of us who don't know a lot about what we're being asked to vote for this week, and not only can Larissa explain, but as ever, she's just so interesting to listen to, no matter what she's talking about. So here's a bonus episode that we hope will make a bit of sense of this whole business. Okay, so Larissa, just explain to me very, very delicately, simply, like we're on Sesame Street, right?
Yeah.
What are we being asked to do on Friday? We're being asked to cast our vote in a double referendum. That means two things, yeah?
Yeah, it's a double referendum, and it's a referendum on the wording in the Constitution. I always say this to people because you forget what the Constitution is. First of all, it's important to note, I think, that the Constitution is the founding document where all our rights and are laid out, and yeah, all the law is basically comes from that. So if you change it, it might make a difference in your day-to-day life, but it does make a difference to how things go forward in the country. So
exactly,
it does,
and it might make a difference 10 or 20 years from now when something legislative comes up and they refer to the Constitution to get what they want.
Yeah, so it's a founding document. So in that reason, all these referendums are important. So in this particular one, we're looking at Article 41. So both changes come under the one article. There are various different clauses.
So they're both in Article 41.
But they're both involving Article 41, which I think is why the government have decided to put them together. Not the greatest idea, I don't think, in hindsight, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So the two of them are on, one of them is on family, and it's about broadening the definition of family in the Constitution. And the second one is on care. Now, this used to be called the woman in the home.
All right, let's start with that one then.
But they've changed that. They're not calling it that anymore.
So the one that they used to call the woman in the home is the care referendum.
It's the care referendum.
And why are they calling it care?
I suppose it's easier than that, but also because it never actually said that a woman's place is in the home. So it was sort of colloquially known as this is the woman's place in the home referendum. The Constitution never actually doesn't actually say that. So I think, as well as that, I do think that there were there was an understanding maybe that women were happy to be recognised in the Constitution. So they kind of, I feel politically, they sort of moved to calling it about care. Essentially, what they're talking about is care in the home. And mostly, I suppose, in most circumstances, that involves women, because it's mostly us who do the bulk of the family care.
I suppose it's worth saying it is and it has been, but it's increasingly men as well. So,
yeah,
and that's
not that increasingly.
Not think so?
No, I don't.
No, I really genuinely.
But
do you not
do
think
not
because
think so.
Of the working at home situations and everything, the way that's changed, that that's altered it slightly? No.
No, I think the main person working in the home, there might be a man coming in or a father coming in, sort of lending support more.
Okay.
But I think in the main, and I haven't got the stats in front of me, but something like 92% of those who work in the home full time are women.
All right.
And most single parents, for example, are women. Most people who mind children and raise children, they're mostly
women. And we're being asked to change. We're being asked to look at a change in the wording of this constitution, of this article.
Yep.
And we're saying, do you want to change the wording? Or no, do you not want to change the wording?
Yeah, and the wording is, can I read you out the wording? Because I actually like the wording of this, right?
So the proposed change.
This is the referendum on care, and this is what the Constitution currently says.
Okay.
The Constitution says, the state recognises that by her life within the home, woman gives a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. Therefore, it shall endeavour to ensure mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. Now, what I read that to mean is that women do the most important role in society by raising children, and that they should never be forced into working if they want to stay at home and mind their children.
Right.
So if you think of that, that's being what the government is saying, and what people who are calling for a yes vote are saying. They believe that that's outdated sexist language, and that to focus on women and not men sort of places women or frames women as you know, these are the people who do this job, and it's sort of gendered language, and that we should remove it because it's offensive and it's sexist and it's misogynistic.
It's debatable, I suppose.
It's debatable. So if you are a person, I suppose, I would argue that if you sort of going around picking apart the Constitution to seek offence or to, you know, oh, that offends me somehow, you might read it that way. Or even if you're not, you might read it that way. But you could alternatively read it in a good way, as in it can't be offensive if it's the truth. So if we're all raising children and often at the expense of the furthering of our own careers, it's nice to know that that is acknowledged by the state in our founding document. And it's nice to know, even though we all have to work now, mostly all of us have to work, except those who are privileged enough not to have to work. It's a noble aim, I think, to say that women shouldn't be forced into the workplace if they really want to raise their children. But it has all these other kind of legal implications as well. Like, for example, imagine I marry my husband. We have three children. We're both lawyers. I give up my career to raise the children. Delightfully do so because he's on loads of money and he can support both of us. And then he runs off with a babysitter. Under our constitution, the law looks at that, and I get a very generous maintenance package in that case. And that is actually connected to the fact that our constitution says it's enshrined, and it says,
what about
that I don't have to work?
Can I throw a spanner in the works there just briefly on that one? What about if you're both exactly the same lawyers and you both have three kids? And you run away on him, and he's left at home with the kids.
But is he the one who was was he the one who'd given up his job to look after the kids in the first place? He had.
Yeah.
Well, then he's a dependent spouse. Yes.
And then would he be entitled?
Yeah.
But is it not the woman that's enshrined?
The woman is enshrined because the woman is the more likely the one to do that job.
But should it not be the dependent spouse is enshrined?
You could if they wanted to get rid of the sexist language. Yeah. They could have changed it to the dependent
spouse. But you're saying the reality is that 92% are women.
But instead of changing it to the dependent spouse, I agree with you, that's what they should have done. But instead of changing it to that, they want to eradicate this from the Constitution entirely.
And?
So they want to take this out entirely.
Okay, and put in?
Replacing it with nothing.
Oh, so take it out?
This particular one is to be struck out.
Oh, expunged?
Yeah, completely. Yes.
Oh, without, not altered?
Not altered.
Just taken out?
One. Taken out, yeah.
So nothing was... So what would be then in our Constitution that would... Talk about the woman in the home.
Now it's going to 41.1, I think, is going out, and it's going to be replaced by. Sorry, that actual article is going to be taken out, not clarified, but it's going to be replaced by another one called 42.B.
Okay, 42B. So it is going to be replaced.
Sorry, there's going to be a whole new article. This is the complication.
All right.
It's not going to be Article 41. It's going to come under a new thing called Article 42B, I think.
Okay, which would be the new. Care.
This is the new care.
Okay.
And what it says there basically is that it kind of puts the care onto the family itself. And it says that the state shall strive to support this, which is...
Strive to support what?
Strive to support care within the family.
What is that?
Well,
I don't want to be... I'm not trying to be facetious. But I wonder what they mean by that.
Well, I mean, I suppose what they're trying to do, maybe, you could argue, is they're trying to say...
Are they trying to degender it?
Degender it. Yeah, that's what it is. So basically, I think the effort was to degender it. But first of all, it's mostly women who do it. So they should get acknowledgement for that. That's my view. But secondly, this effort at degendering has then caused a whole other raft of problems. And there are people on the campaigning side of this who will know more about this than me. But essentially, disability and equality campaigners for those with, you know, for carers and so on, they're saying, hang on a minute, by creating this new 42B, by expunging 41.11 or whatever, now put all the onus of care onto the family. And the state then sort of further... removes itself from its role in maybe caring for people with extra needs.
Yeah.
And it only says it strives, not endeavours, which is a very
different
thing.
And worth saying there, I think, that if people are still with us, but worth saying there that, because it is tricky.
It is.
Fintan O'Toole had an interesting article about this in the Irish Times today, Tuesday. This is the Tuesday before the referendum. Talking about how this removing the caring aspect of, if you like, emphasising the caring aspect in the family, that it takes pressure off and takes responsibility off the state.
Yes.
And of course, this is more of a lean, if you like, rightwards by what would be seen as a kind of right of centre government. Fine Gael, you know, yeah. Right of centre, who'd go, that's kind of Leo yesterday. I think he was even on 6 o'clock show saying, yeah, I think it's all up to the families to take care of, you know, all this sort of stuff. You know, forget about the state, you know, we can't help you, sorry.
I know.
So it's that kind of thing, isn't it?
It is. And Tom Clonan, actually, the senator, is very, very good on this. And he was saying that even when he worries for his son into the future, he's a son with serious mm-hmm. disabilities. And he says that generally what he gets from the state are, oh, well, look, you know, who else will mind? Do you have a wife? She can mind him if you die. If you die, do you have a daughter? She can mind him if you die. You know, and imagine having that being, you know, that's all you're going to get here.
I'm coming in the car. I was talking to you about Blanet and what she said. She was also saying that nowadays we also live in a society where women end up not only taking care of their kids, but also their parents.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because people are living longer and people are having children maybe a little bit. Lately, a little bit older. Yes, and women. Look, we are. That's the way we're wired. I mean, I even see it in my own house. I'm concerned about whether somebody has enough blankets. I'll wake up in the night. Jesus, it's after getting cold. You know, I'll wake up and actually go and move and get another blanket. I'm not sure how many men think
that way.
Should
they not just do a referendum called call it maybe the loading the dishwasher referendum?
Yeah,
where
men
are actually legally enshrined with fucking doing something in the house. Well, I mean, like, loading the dishwasher, right? And putting out the bins. I mean, and I'll speak for myself. I'm terrible. Now, my argument is, I would argue that Blanet takes all the responsibility herself. And that if I try to do something, she'd say, you're doing it wrong. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Right? But having said that, I would agree and admit we just don't do enough at all. Or at least I don't. And I could do a lot more. And anyway, so that's the first referendum. So
listen, that, I think
we've two of them now.
No, that's the first
that's
one.
The first
I'm just
one.
Thinking that they're intertwined, which makes them slightly complex.
Yeah.
And if you think about this, I've been researching this for the last 3 weeks, and still it took a minute for me to say to you, "Oh, hang on, yes, we're getting rid of Article 41.11 or 2 or whatever it is," but it's being replaced by an entirely other article.
So can I summarize, teacher?
Yes,
Montour, right?
Yeah.
So you just told me that they're replacing Article 41.1, which used to say the position of the woman will be enshrined in the home as kind of sacred, so that she could protect that even and be rather than work outside
if she so wants to.
It doesn't put her in the home, and that's going to be replaced by Article 42B, which suggests that care for everybody, I suppose, will be the family's responsibility or anybody in the family that's a carer? Or?
It's saying basically the state, it's moving it into saying that, yes, we think this is a great, care in the home is great, and we strive to support it.
Let's try and move to the second one then. Mm. What's the second one?
So the second one is the definition of family. So this is called the family referendum.
And this is, what number is this one?
41.2, I think.
Okay.
They're both under Article 41, essentially. Should know
right.
that. I should
41.2.
know. 41.2. But I think it's 41.2. And I think the other one is 41.11. But anyway,
and
I'm confusing things here. This one is family. And this is more straightforward in one way and then more complex in another.
How is it straightforward?
So it's straightforward in that the definition of family as it currently stands within the Constitution, not within society or anything else, but within the Constitution, is based on marriage. So what this seeks to do is that if we change this, that the definition of family will be extended beyond just marital unions. And so by definition, then it will include people who are, you know, for example, I was a single parent for 13 years. My family that I always knew existed, didn't need the state to tell me existed, would then be recognised by the Constitution, me and my son's family. So say, for example, you know, my mother is with a man for 20 years since my father died. They would be recognised as a family now under the Constitution. So it would bring in all those other groups that aren't currently recognised as a family because they're not married.
Is this the one where they use the expression the durable relationship?
This is exactly what the complex bit is. So the simple bit of this is that it's asking to extend or broaden the definition of family. And the complex bit is that it's kind of replacing it with durable relationships.
Which, so, let's face it, we're getting into an absolute, you know, shitstorm here of possibilities.
There's no denying that. And I don't even think the government has denied that. They can't put a definition on durable relationships. Nobody has.
Nobody can.
Nobody can. So,
and it's surely it's utterly subjective.
Completely.
Mine's, my durable relationship is your absolute fiasco of a relationship.
Well, I mean, it's kind of almost, I would say it's almost dangerous in that you could be in a relationship with someone who you've been trying to extricate yourself from for years and finally break free only to him to turn around and say,
we're durable.
I was in a durable relationship.
I've durable, yeah.
Yeah, be durable.
It's like tag. Yeah. Durable, yeah. I've been durable.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, I as a single people should particularly dislike this. You know, the sort of the people who choose to be single and don't want to be in a state recognised union, I think would be probably against this. So there's a libertarian element to it. But I would say that probably the biggest issue with this kind of fudgy term, durable relationships, is nobody knows what it is. How then? See, marriage, for all its problems, one of the main reasons behind it is it's economic. So it's like there's economic factors in why people get married, you know, X is
with
Y, inheritance,
and rights,
inheritance
and property
and all
rights,
those kind
and
of
death
things.
Rights and, all, yeah.
And I would say birth and death. So like, say, for example, you're with a man, he's left his wife, but they haven't bothered getting divorced. Then you have a child with him. He's paying for his kids already. And then he leaves you. And then what is he? Who's got the upper hand? Mm. Who gets the maintenance? Oh, for God's sake. And then if somebody leaves, if he dies, where does the house go? Mm-hmm. Because you could be leaving one woman in the lurch and then not another one. At least marriage, I suppose, makes that a clear choice legally. I would say this is, it's a legal nightmare, this one. So I think this is the one maybe that could cause the major future problems down the road. The change on the what's called the woman in the home side of the referendum. For me, it's kind of like it started in 2017, this drive to change this. Oh, this is sexist language. I think it's kind of outdated at this stage, and everybody knows that it's not. So I'm not sure what legal implications will come from that, although people say it will affect maintenance. But I think the one that will probably end up likely to cause would be the durable relationships change.
Mm. Now, if you and I are, if you've been studying this for a little while and you had to do 3 hours of research on this to do a couple of articles as well, and yeah, having read casually and professionally about it over the last while, and you even mentioned 2017 there, things you would have seen. Mm. I mean, do you not think people who are busy doing other things during the week will be very, very confused over where they stand on this?
I know people are, because I'll tell you a little story. Yesterday, myself and a colleague of mine went out on the streets to talk to people about the referendum. And we learned two things from that. That's an old thing called a vox pop, as anyone who's ever come near media will know. The vox populi, the voice of the people. It's a great way of getting people's viewpoints. But nobody wants to talk to you, especially not in the driving rain. So we were nearly getting battered by umbrellas. But secondly, no one in Ireland wants to talk about politics. They don't want to tell you how they're voting. Not officially, but mostly unofficially, we got people saying, I haven't a clue. I haven't looked at it yet. I'm hoping to get a chance to look at it by Friday. Really don't know. Haven't a notion. Haven't a clue. Now, they knew it was in the coming, but like with, what's this, Monday? 4 days to go, almost everyone we spoke to hadn't formed. They didn't know what they were voting yet. Mm-hmm. So while they wouldn't talk to us on the record, everyone we talked to was, I really don't know. I'm thinking about this and what do you think about that? So people are still getting their heads around it. I think it's too much.
It
was too much to put to the public.
Yeah, and it seems
in a short
opaque,
time. Yeah,
vague, and well, again, just mention what Fintan O'Toole said today. Really weak as well, as in almost it doesn't. At its worst, it doesn't even make any difference in a way. Oh, sorry, at its best, it doesn't
at
make any
best,
difference.
Yeah.
At its worst, it could be a little corrosive.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I suppose, you know, if you were to look at, there's an awful lot of very sincere and passionate no campaigners. I haven't heard anyone from the Yes side really kind of inspire me with the feeling that they're going, yes, come on, we need to change this thing.
But this is interesting because now this breaks society, this breaks it down into predictable camps again. Some unpredictable camps, but mainly predictable. So the entire legislative, so the entire Oireachtas.
Yeah.
Entire Oireachtas is yes, yes, is it?
Well, I mean, everyone in government has come
that's
out and said
Sinn Féin
yes,
is yes, yes.
I know,
as well.
Yeah, but they vote with the government and everything now.
Fine Gael are yes, yes. Fianna Fáil are yes, yes. Sinn Féin are yes, yes. So they've all decided this is a really good idea.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, the thing is, you wouldn't know it because they're all sort of kind of, yeah, it's great, isn't it? But like, no one's really, they're not out tub-thumping.
But are they not? Yeah, exactly. But they're not obviously having the same discussions as you and I are in this room.
No, I think, right, that this came up. This was first mooted in 2017. That's a good long time ago now. It's 7 years ago. That was the height of woke stuff before everybody realised it was a pile of BS, right? So I think this was somebody came in and, like, I always think of, you know, the story about St. George and the dragon, you know, St. George and retirement syndrome. Have you ever heard this phrase? So St. George went out and slayed all the dragons and got loads of acclaim for that. And it was everyone was saying, St. George, you're great. You're the hero. You're the man. But then when there was no dragons left to slay, he was just going around the place with his sword, like hitting the air, slicing the air.
Yeah.
Going, surely there's something else great I can do.
Yeah.
And I think that this is an example of that. I think that the government and those behind it were going, yeah, you know that thing, it says women in the home somewhere. Yeah, it kind of does. Doesn't really, but it kind of does. Let's get that. That's sexist. That's terrible. Let's get rid of that.
And that ship has sailed slightly.
I think so, because I believe that women are coming around to the reality of things, that something, you might see offence in something, but it's the truth. So like, you know, say for example, if you are a woman who's being forced to work and put your kids into creche and all you want to do is raise your kids yourself, and you're kind of going, hang on, my mother looked after me and she's in the constitution and I want to be doing that, and now they're pulling that out of the constitution, my economic right to not have to work, you would start saying to yourself, are we being fools here by a sort of a gilded elite going, oh, this old kind of old fashioned sort of wording, that doesn't exist anymore. Mm. But like it exists more than ever, because now, and I suppose what's happened since 2017 up to 2024 is the cost of living crisis. You know, everybody's struggling harder. People know, hang on, you know, like I remember even my mother used to say to me, what was feminism? Feminism said, we want to do it all. We want to work and we want to raise the kids. And she goes, and now you are doing it all. And now you're all worn out and wrecked and tired and feeling guilty half the time and feeling like you're not giving work enough, but you're not giving kids enough. And so what women got from that, yeah, did they have it all though? So I think at this stage, women are kind of beginning to realise that, hang on, maybe the win is not going out working for a company for 50 hours a week. Maybe the win is not desperately trying to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe the win is actually the wonderful achievement and the privilege of being able to raise and shape your own children.
Yeah, well, do you remember I was saying this to you before we recorded this, that I was talking to Blanet, my wife, and we were just talking just very briefly about, I was coming in talking to you about that, I was going to talk to you about it, and just this broad thing about women were seen as being chained to the hob, you know, in 1945, 1950. And then in 1970, the late 60s and the 70s and the so-called women's lib movement and everything. Yeah. And in the 80s and everything, it was regarded as not only a great idea, but commonplace for women to go out to work. And then it was, of course, let's see if they can get the really good jobs. And then, you know, more try and put warm women in positions of authority and CEOs and all this sort of stuff. And then I suppose it's starting to come a little bit full circle in the sense that the actual act of raising a children, raising family, is being seen as a kind of a wonderful and often preferable, depending on who you are, choice in life to get to do one of the most valuable things you can do as a human being, to raise the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of come full circle. But from the way you're talking about it, it sounds like the government are, like, again, 6 years behind the times.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes when I go, when I'm talking about RT and they go, about their inability to make young people's programmes, because you have two guys aged 53 there called Noel, right? And they're going, what are those young people watching these days? I think they like them two Johnnies. Well, we just put the two Johnnies onto every fucking thing that moves. Have the two Johnnies doing the weather, because that's what the youth like. And they don't get it. The two Johnnies are liked by, you know, some young people, but not all young people.
Yeah.
And they're not representative of all young people by any means. And they're popular within their own, you know, group. Yes. So you know what I mean? So it's almost people kind of second guessing what people want to hear or want to.
Yeah. And also when you're living the reality of it, you're there going, listen, you can all be there swanning around saying, ooh, sex is language, but I'm living like this. So say, for example, if you're a person who has no life with your husband anymore because both of you are working and you've two small kids and all you want to do is you see your kids for an hour or two in the evening and then you both collapse into a heap of sleep and you've no life, you'll probably go, wait a minute here, I've been sold a pup. You know, like, was it all that great? Because if life was that great, surely we wouldn't all be doing the lotto all the time. You know, we like not everybody, you know, most people want to get out of their jobs. Not everyone has, I suppose this is the thing, not everyone has careers. Most people just have jobs. And so, like, if you could afford...
People are increasingly disaffected with corporatism and corporate life as well.
Yeah.
They begin to see through it. They begin to see that, you know, this idea of, call it the American dream, that if I work hard enough, I can get what I want, is actually turning out to be a load of baloney.
Yeah, but it is, especially when you can't buy a house or anything like
that's
that.
That's exactly it.
So people are all working away and
I'm working as hard as I can and I have talent and I can't get to where I want to go. What about me?
And there's no rewards. So you're there going, and now the government wants to take out this one reference to the important job we do, which is raising the next generation. Couldn't get any more important than that. And now they want to take it out saying, no, that's offensive. Don't you know, ladies? But when the truth is in front of you, that's a bit hard to swallow. And I think that truth has become more evident in the last 7 years since this referendum has mooted. But I even see, you often see even female commentators will go through phases, you know, they'll be in their 20s with no kids going, yeah, rah, rah, there's not enough women CEOs and all this kind of stuff. And then as they go on in life and have children, suddenly their entire viewpoint changes. And there is a little bit of trickery involved. Like, it would suit all the powers that be if we all were mad to get into the workplace and work our holes off, you know, wouldn't it though? Sorry, excuse the bad language, but, you know, like, that's, it's like it would suit them perfectly if everyone had double incomes and then houses cost more because they're being calculated on those double incomes. And we all run around like little, you know,
giving
robots.
Giving them plenty of tax.
Paying loads of tax. The kids get raised on their own, and you suddenly look back and go, I never got to enjoy that with them. You know, and just the guilt. I think that there's not a working mother I've met yet that doesn't suffer some form of guilt, which is awful for them because they're doing their best, they're doing better than their best, and yet they still come home at night feeling, or at the end of a week feeling like, I haven't done enough, I haven't been enough.
Can you be a devil's advocate for a minute? Because I'm getting the distinct impression that not only do you think these referendums are unwanted, but they're probably going to get a negative from you.
They would for me, but I wouldn't ever encourage anyone else to, like, I don't mind when I'm not a campaigner here. No. I just think that it's a little bit of sort of government virtue signalling going on.
Yeah. And well, then explain to me, be fair, and explain to me from a devil's advocate point of view why somebody would see, so how somebody could very well see the advantages of voting yes or the merits of voting yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so
let's look at the care one first.
Yeah.
Of all.
So I mean,
the so-called woman in the home.
The care one. I will vote no to both of them. You're right.
All right.
But I'm not telling anybody else to.
No.
I just want to make that clear because I.
But put forward,
probably will be passed.
Put forward the
so
yes.
The care
if you were
one,
being with a yes hat.
If I was to debate, I pretend I'm back in debating society in school now. What I would have said was that
it
God,
was
I'm
sexist.
Struggling. Yeah, I'm struggling. But
well,
if
no,
you
let's
were,
be honest. You could say it was sexist. The wording was sexist.
Yeah, but it wasn't really when you look at the wording, right? So I'm going to try and find another reason to change it. I would say that had they put the right wording in instead of completely eradicating the article, then there would have been a place for it. If they'd said mothers and fathers, brackets in the home, or the dependent spouse or something like that. As it stands, I'm finding it difficult, other than if you feel that symbolism is important. There we go, I've got one. If you feel that symbolism is important and that we shouldn't be maybe picking out one gender over another, and that maybe if you don't put mothers in, fathers would be more likely to do it. Maybe that could be an argument.
All right.
That if you don't have it nailed down as being mothers, that maybe fathers would be more likely to get involved. I
All
suppose
right.
symbolism, maybe that might be a reason to,
okay.
to and vote.
And about the definition of family, the second one. I suppose that's easier to have a yes hat because, in a way, because you could say, oh, well, we don't all have to abide by this definition of family being a nuclear family. There are many definitions of families. There are unmarried parents. There are lesbian parents, gay parents. There are even throuples.
Yep.
This has been mentioned, hasn't it?
I do. I don't. Now, that's
what
where I do
that
think.
Been, is that a joke?
To be No. It's some people think that. Claim that it would be a serious thing that in the future you could have this throuple situation and they'd all be in a durable relationship. I think the courts are a bit more common sense than that. I don't see that as being an issue. But legally, as we went through the problems with it, for me, there's an easy reason to vote yes in this. This is the one where I would have kind of been on the fence a little bit about this one, but I'll still probably vote no to both of them. But the yes, it's an admirable thing to extend the definition of family beyond just one based on marriage. I come from a family that was split myself and I went on to have a family myself. So I completely understand how people would sincerely think this isn't fair. These people need to be counted too. My only problem with that, and I that's the reasons to vote yes there. My problem with that personally would be that for me and my son, when I was a single parent for 13 years before I got married last year, durable relationship actually degrades what we had. So I would not want me and my son to be in a durable relationship. We're in much more than that. So I think the language around it is not great. But I understand how overall people might say, do you know what? Let's bring in the single parents and let's bring in the people who've been living together with each other for 25 years. And I totally, completely get that. And there was a case, of course, there was a case in the courts there recently of a man who had been looking for the widower's pension. He had three children with his wife who died during COVID, and he was being denied the widower's pension because they hadn't been, sorry, his wife, his common law wife, they hadn't actually been married, and he had to fight through the courts for that. Now the courts
wasn't legally married.
Because he wasn't legally married. I mean, God, can you imagine? He did it as a principal, which was amazing. I thought he was a fantastic man for doing it. But the courts saw the sensible side of that without need for change in the constitution. However, he may be a case where some people might say, do you know something, on balance, it's better to bring these different types of family in. So I can understand that.
All right. What do you think will happen? Put your bookie's hat on.
I would say yes on the durable relationships and no on the care. So the care is obviously the woman in the home thing.
You think they might be rejected?
I think that one might be.
The family one might get through
because Irish people don't like leaving people out, and there's so many people who have come from different types of families. So I think maybe people on balance might say, ah, don't worry about that durable relationship thing, let's bring people in. But I think on the care one, there's been a lot of very strong voices, including I think it was the FLAC, the Free Legal Aid people. There was a carers association, a new carers association, I've forgotten their name, Tom Clonan, who's a really strong carers advocate. There's a lot of very strong voices saying this isn't what it seems to be. It's been a missed opportunity and please don't vote for this. So I can see that having sway in the second one.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Just one thing I've noticed is, I mean, a lot of sensible people, who I would regard as sensible people, like you, for example, that's why I'm having you on the podcast, because you don't blow with the wind. You have your own opinion and you try to listen to your own thoughts and your own conscience, and so you're willing to be honest about your own thoughts. So and that's why I would have you on the podcast, even though you would kind of go against the prevailing, if you like, for want of a better word, so-called woke.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Hate all things woke.
Yeah, I don't even like using the word woke,
I know,
to be honest.
Neither do I.
That's why I called it so-called woke.
Yeah, good.
But anyway, but it's kind of fallen into funny lines, because the one thing I've noticed is, I'm trying to introduce, it'll be very difficult for me to introduce this character onto Gift Grub, who I call Irish Patriot,
right,
also known as Citizen Journalist, right? Citizen Journalist, right? They're all voting no. And that's just to stick it to the wokes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So any place he wants to go,
that's
I
brilliant.
Don't want to go.
Right? I love it. I know.
It'll be very difficult for me now to put him past Ian Dempsey. He'll be going, where are we going to raise now?
But everyone knows who he is.
Oh, everybody knows Citizen Journalist, an Irish patriot. But I just think this is a character now. But he's no at the moment.
He's no, is he?
He's no.
The only thing is, the only thing worse than Citizen Journalist is insufferably, and I know we don't like the word woke, and neither do I, because actually I like to think that I actually am properly
that's
woke.
That's the point. Yeah. You are woke.
I am. I'm aware
We're
of
all
social
woke.
Issues.
We should be woke.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
The real one. But
awakened.
Yes. Like Martin Luther King came up with that, first of all. He was saying, it comes back to him. My hero and the best man ever to walk the planet.
Woke is the opposite to being asleep and blind.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's taken on a completely different meaning.
It has. And the meaning is hypocritical, judgmental,
bully,
finger-pointing, bullying fascist type approach to anyone that doesn't agree with you, which is the opposite of liberal. But so for me, I'd nearly pick Citizen Journalist over ultra woke, you know.
Well, Leo was on the 6 o'clock show yesterday, even I think participating almost in the cookery section trying to get this through.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean, you know, it was actually funny seeing him on the couch trying to sell this to the lads, you know.
But they probably will get it through, I'd say. You know, like somebody said to me once, if there was a vote to have like Nazi boots on the street again, some people would go, ah, sure, why not? You know, and just press yes. Do you know, like if you ask, referendums are so mad.
They are.
That if you ask anyone anything, Like a lot of people just say yeah for the crack.
I know.
So, you know, they might just get a yes by lucky. But I'll tell you something, they will be doing it by the skin of their teeth. And it should be a lesson to the government because they've run this through to hold it on International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Which is a gimmick.
Which is a little sneaky.
It is so disingenuous. Because it depends on your viewpoint.
Yeah.
And it's not mine, for example.
Yes.
And not a lot of women who work hard in the home. It's not theirs either.
Yeah. It's conflating it with women's rights.
Yeah,
it's conflating
it
with women's autonomy. And it's conflating it with the rights of womanhood.
They're trying to do a repeal, Mark, too.
Yeah.
You know, and sorry, that ship has sailed. You know, it's like I need to out-progress everybody else. What has not been done? Let's do this. But I think women are seeing through it. But, you know, I just think the whole thing rushed in to be held on International Women's Day, not thought through, like loads of opportunities that could have been, like wording could have been phrased differently, and everyone would have agreed with it. Even earlier on, we were just saying that if you change it to mean to say, you know, mothers and fathers in the home, or, you know, different wording around durable relationships, if it had been done properly, I think people would have just voted in, no problem.
Okay.
Not sure if it will be now, though.
Is that all you have to say?
That's all. Well, I have a million other things to say all night.
No, but I mean, that seems to have covered it.
On that particular issue, yeah. But I have plenty of things to say about everything else.
The vote is on Friday. We're going to put this podcast out today. The vote is on Friday, which is 4 days away. And Larissa, thanks very much for making some sense of it. And I mean, I know a little bit much, quite a lot more about it now than I did when I started the conversation.
I hope so. I wonder, did you know quite a lot less by the end of all that? But
No, I know definitely no more. I definitely know more. The only thing is, you're so persuasive. You're going to turn me into Irish Patriot. And I know you don't mean to do that. Citizen journalist Larissa Nolan, thank you.
Thank you. No.
Thanks. That's it. My thanks to Larissa Nolan for coming in and chatting to me about the March 8th referendum. If you can, get out and vote this week. It's all about participating. Get used to employing your vote, getting out there and doing it. Be part of the democracy. Listen back to Larissa's previous episode, as I said. If you want to contact me, it's mariorosenstock@gmail.com. I read them all and I get back to nearly all of them. Fascinating story. Back with another episode and sketch later this week. Toodaloo.